Well, grab your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 13 this morning. Romans chapter 13. Interesting section of scripture. We see in Romans chapter 1 through 11 really focuses and talks about the central doctrines of the Christian faith. And as we've studied through that, we've kind of made the transition now in the latter half of the book of Romans, chapter 12 through the ending there, really talking about practical things that we are to do as Christians. What our behavior is. This mic like really hot? Can you turn it down a little bit or is it all right? Okay. And so it talks about, thank you. The behaviors that we are to exhibit as Christians. If we want to live a life honoring to the Lord requires us to do things in our life, to exhibit that fruit of the Spirit, to abstain from some things. And so as we begin chapter 13, like I said, kind of a controversial, everybody has their own opinions on this topic and your own beliefs. And so I pray that grace would abound here in the church this morning as we talk about it. And so I'd like to begin kind of two extremes, bookends. You know, some people may say that the Bible says that the government is the ruling authority over everyone, including Christians, and we should bow down and obey everything the government says on one extreme. I'm getting some head nods already. And then on the other side of the spectrum, some may say that the government has absolutely no business in a Christian's life. There should be separation of church and state, and only God is our authority. So that's kind of how I see the bookends there. And so I'll start with this to kind of lighten the mood a little bit. Seemed like a good idea when I was preparing for it. Not so much now, but like I said, grace, Granny, grace. We'll go with it. So two things are certain in life, according to the world, death and taxes. Yay. Did you hear about the proposal that the congressmen and women of the United States of America should wear uniforms like a NASCAR driver so that we can identify who their corporate sponsors are? Did you hear about that? You didn't hear that one? In quotes, because it would be hilarious is probably not a good reason to elect someone to be president. I would agree with that, wouldn't you? Joke's on us. I remember when Halloween was the scariest night of the year. Now it's election night. Ooh. How did we know that communism was doomed from the beginning? All the red flags. I know. I'm sorry, Dan. I'm sorry. I'll end with this. I don't approve of political jokes because I've seen too many of them get elected. So with that, to lighten the mood a little bit, there's probably a reason why I'm here and Pastor Mark is not, so that I'm covering this topic of scripture and take the heat for the man. So glad to do it. So as we begin in Romans chapter 13, you'll see what I mean after just two verses. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Say it again. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. Now, I know those verses can be a hard kind of pill to swallow, right? I mean, when generally when we think of government, we can think of oppression and taxes and all of these things, regulation. You know, it's kind of funny that I'm up here preaching about government because I have to acknowledge that I am a government employee. So I might have a little bit of a bias, but we'll see. So there's some critical things. It says that we are to be subject to the authorities. When we think of authorities, we typically think of those in power, such as government officials, maybe such as your boss, your supervisor, a superintendent, members of Congress, the president, all of those things that are put in place as a society that we have, as a lawful, just society that bring all of these things together. And it says, as Christians, Paul says, we are to be in submission or subjected to that authority. Now, the word, you know, subjected means subordinate or obeying or submitted to, you know, and when we think of that, our natural tendency is that I don't want government controlling my life. But it says here that all of these things around us, all of these appointments and political figures and people, all the way down to the lowest levels of our society, maybe our boss, are all put there by the Lord our God. That's what it says there, that they've been appointed by God. And then to cast those things away is to literally cast the ruling or the authority of the Lord by the wayside as well. So kind of a challenging thing, especially in this day and age when we feel like government is coming in and oppressing the freedoms that we've enjoyed so much. But indeed, the Lord has orchestrated all of this stuff to happen according to what his plan and purpose is for even our little small community here. That's what it says there. In verses 3-5, it says, for rulers are not a terror of good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's minister and avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. All that says to mean that, you know, there's a reason why we have law enforcement in our society to uphold the rules of the road, the laws. And if you want to not be afraid of authority, then don't break the laws. Have you ever had that tendency when you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you see the state trooper parked on the downhill side of Roberts Mountain and he's there? You've all seen it. You're going pretty fast. You see the policeman and instantaneously what happens? Put on the brakes, but not too hard, right? Don't let him see the brake lights because then he's going to know you're slowing down. So you coast down there and, you know, everything's good. What does that do? What does the policeman, the authority do? It keeps us in line, right? You know, and think about not so much in, you know, when you get older. You know, when you get older, you like to see the policemen. At least I do. You know, I wave at them. I'm glad you're here. I appreciate what you do. Thank you. But that wasn't the case when you were younger, right? You're always, you know, looking behind your back. Where's the cop? Am I going to get pulled over? Am I going to have my insurance card with me? All of those things that kind of go through your mind and whether you're all up to snuff according to the laws of the day. And so that's what Paul is saying here. He says there's a reason why we have laws and regulations and governing authorities. It's to keep society in check, really. Imagine, well, we've seen that over the last couple of years in particular, where we try to cast out the authorities from doing what they're supposed to do, policemen and all of these things. You know, when we move those things out of society, then lawlessness and chaos abound. And then you see us kind of circling back around as a society saying, you know, really not a good thing that we get rid of our police force. Look what happens there. Lawlessness abounds. There's no justice, no accountability, nothing to keep people on the straight and narrow. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. There is a purpose for authority and government in our lives. In verse 6, for because of this, you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. I know that's a tough one to swallow as well, but that's the Lord's heart. You know, if these things are going to get funded in our society, when you stop and think about how blessed we are for all of the services that we have, the protection that we have, the benefits that we have come from taxes. They need to get paid for somehow or another. And the Lord is saying, pay those things as part of a responsible citizen in society. You pay your share of taxes. Now, we can all argue what the appropriate amount is or isn't, and tax rates can be very high on us. And if you're one of those people that struggle with taxes, then find all of the different loopholes that we have in our society to lower your tax burden. There's ways to do that. You know, I like what Jesus said when he looked at the coin. He said, render to Caesar those things that are Caesar's. Look who it's on the coin. Pull out a dollar bill. Look whose face is on it. The United States of America. Render those things to society that they own. But unto God, render the things that are God's. And in that, as a Christian, you know, we're not to be hung up on physical things. We're to be hung up on the Lord's work in and through our life. And what does the Lord possess, own? That's us, because he bought us with a price. So his stamp of ownership is on our hearts. And the Lord wants us to be in service to him continually, offering our lives as a testimony of his work through us. And so that's important, that we're not getting hung up on the physical things that we have in this world and how much I have to give back to the government and all those things, but just to allow the Lord to work through those things. Give those things. Be the cheerful giver, the generous heart in all that the Lord has blessed us with, not only paying your taxes, but in tithes and offerings as well. So whatever those things that are required of us, give back to whom they own. That wouldn't be our sole focus of our lives when it comes to the government and taxes. Pay it and get rid of it kind of thing. Now we know that some may say, you know, this is the ideal. This is the ideal government situation where there is no corruption, there is no evil. There is none of that. Then, yeah, as a Christian, I can see how we could say that God has ordained all of these things in our life and put them in place. But if you look back and realize the situation that Jesus and Paul were under, the government authority of the Roman rule at this time, it was harsh. It was evil. It was corrupt. It was not the ideal government authority reigning and ruling the land. It was absolutely terrible. You know, you think in Paul's time, you had Caesar Nero, who was the emperor, the ultimate president of the land, who was persecuting Christians like no other. Terrible, terrible things that he was doing. And so in that, we know that government can be corrupt. Government, it can be very evil, all of those things. But the Lord has still given us a calling to be good citizens unto them, submit to that authority, because the Lord has put it all in place as we have it now. And when you think about it, you know, we don't understand all of that. We don't comprehend it. We don't see how in the world is this a good thing, because our understanding is so limited. But the Lord, who knows everything and all the parts and pieces, from the very big things of creation all the way down to the intimate details of each and every one of our lives and where he's put us and placed us in our jobs and in our families and all of those things, knows how all of these things are going to work together to draw us closer to him, to impact a lost world around us, to bring him glory and honor. We don't know how that works. But just in our small fellowship, we've heard so many things of, I got to minister to my boss and supervisor. I got to pray for her, to lift her up. My boss knows that I'm a Christian and I got to witness to him. You know, all of those things work together for God's good pleasure somehow or another. You know, having our sheriff here at the local jurisdiction has a purpose. Having Governor Kate Brown ruling the state of Oregon has a purpose. The president of the United States, all of those things. God is not surprised by how it's all unfolding. He knows how it is all working. So government is that part of any society that is based on laws and justice. And the only conflict I would submit is that when government contradicts the word of God, when there's something that comes down through the authority of man that is contrary to the word of God. You know, and we have plenty of examples through scripture of that. The most notable that I thought first and foremost was Daniel serving under King Nebuchadnezzar, deported from his land, brought into a new country under a new authority in Babylon there. He was a good citizen in the king's palace, served him, was honorable to him, did all of those things that he was supposed to do, a good employee of the king. Everything was fine and in line until the decree came out that him and his buddies would no longer worship his God, the God Jehovah. And then it was, okay, all bets are off now. I'm not submitting to the authority that would take me contrary to the word of God. And so when everybody else was bowing down and committing idolatry, Daniel stood strong in his conviction to the Lord and said, I'm not bowing down and worshiping your God. I'm worshiping my God. And that's really the clear distinction for us as Christians. And then we have all of this gray area that we have to deal with, especially the last 2 years dealing with all of these things. Should the government be able to tell me to do this, not do that, this, that, this, that? And it all goes back to your conscience sake. Each one has to decide those matters in their own mind. And it's been great to see us as a fellowship, such trying times this last 2 years, just to be disenfranchised and not unified, but all of you, all of us have been so graceful to accommodate all of the different opinions and things. And we're still together as a whole body, which is exactly the way it's supposed to work. We come here to worship the Lord. We're not going to get involved with all the different opinions that the government and all of these things are swirling around, trying to get us, you know, segregated and not together, unified in Christ. You know, many church bodies, that did not happen because of the rules of men. And that should not be. Example that my wife shared with me just the other day, the Chinese Communist Party rewriting scripture for their citizens, for the Chinese. Not just sleight of hand stuff, pretty major things, where they say now that, no, the scripture didn't say that. It said Jesus did this instead. And the whole agenda behind it is that the government would now control the thoughts of man and how we worship and all of those things. So here's your new Bible. This is what it says. No, that absolutely would cross the line between being a good citizen, being ruled under the authority of man's ways versus something contradicting the word of God. You know, but it's out there. It's out there all of the time. We have to make these choices and things to, are we honoring man or are we honoring God? So it's upon us for sure. So what are the purposes that the Lord, I think, uses the governing authority to accomplish? Well, we see in scripture that the governing authorities can be instruments in the Lord's hands to judge a nation. You know, we see that in the Old Testament so clearly, that time and time again, he teaches the people to obey and follow hard after the Lord, and God is using the kings of the land of Israel to unfold judgment upon the people. And you have good kings and you have bad kings. So that can happen in a ruling authority. You know, we see fulfillment of prophecy through governments. You know, look at the state of our world now and all of the things that are unswirling and moving about, things that we've never seen before. And that's the work of God through man and government fulfilling prophecies that were given to us thousands of years ago. You see that the land of Israel being reoccupied with the Jewish people after the horrendous acts of Nazi Germany. You know, how in the world could the slaughter of over 6 million people have anything good that comes out of it? Incomprehensible, the evil that was done. But the Lord was working in and through that, because then we see the Jewish people getting a little bit of favor by the ruling authorities and getting their nation back in 1948 because of the Holocaust. You know, all of those tremendous, terrible, evil things can be used by the Lord for his purposes. And that just gives us faith and assurance that we're not surprised by anything that is going on in our world, because we can trust in the higher power and authority of our God. The other point is all of this is temporal. You know, I really like my president now. I didn't like him last election, liked him before that, didn't like him. You know, you see this cycle of things that can really take us off base, and whether we support Democrat, Republican, yada, yada, yada. But all of that is temporal. It's fleeting. It changes every 4 or 8 years. And the older I get, it seems like there's so much change, but really nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes. So whether the president's this or that, it's all the same thing. And why is that? Because the government is no different than anything else. They're sinful men and women making up all of that. And the core root of all of the problem is not government, but it's sin. And so all of that is just temporary. It's fleeting. It changes. Who knows what the future holds? And we are to keep the business of the kingdom in focus. You know, why are we here? We're not in a war with the government. We are in a war with sin and death. There's a problem with that. Repentance needs to unfold. Forgiveness needs to happen. Salvation needs to occur for each and every one of us. And so really that should be our focus. And that's what the Lord desires of us. And eventually, all of this is just temporary. There will come a time when the governing authority is Jesus Christ, and it's perfect, and that will last for eternity. You know, that really is our hope and our peace. And all of this stuff around us really doesn't matter in the scheme, the larger scheme of the Lord's work in and through his church and what he desires to do. So, you know, don't let that steal your peace. Don't let it steal your joy. You know, if you have a tendency to get worked up by watching TV or the news feeds and all that's going on, then just turn it off. Get away from it. Check out from it. Because that's not the Lord's heart, that it would steal our peace and joy. He wants us to stay focused on him and not care about all of these things. It goes back to the previous chapter. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And if you have these things in your life that are not renewing your mind, then put those things off. Get rid of them. In verse 8, owe no one anything except to love one another. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there is any other commandment, all are summed up in the saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. You know, I love that we are to owe no man anything except for love. It's all about love. If you're going to give something out, may it be love. And it says all of the law and the prophets is wrapped up in that one word, love. If I love my fellow mankind, I'm not going to lie, steal, kill, all of those things that the Ten Commandments talks about. I'm going to love my neighbor as myself. I'm going to love God the way that the Lord intends it to be. He's going to be first and foremost in my life. Nothing else is going to come in the way of that relationship. To love the Lord with all that you are and love others. All of that is wrapped up in love. You know, I love how this little piece of scripture is just plugged in the middle of not being conformed to this world, abhorring evil, desiring those things that are of the Lord, and that love aspect in our lives. It says, and do this knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. You know, the urgency, you see that, you know, the night is almost over and the day is coming. Christian, make sure you're ready for the Lord's return, that you're not caught up in things that would be unworthy of the Lord when he comes back to receive his church, that you're not caught up in these things that are not of the Lord if you're practicing the presence of Jesus. Jesus and the Holy Spirit residing within our hearts, our soul, our innermost being, that we would live lives that are honoring to him, that we wouldn't quench out the moving of the Holy Spirit in our life, but allow it to flourish and blossom into greater and greater things in our life. That's the idea of putting off darkness and putting on Christ. You know, and it's all about the love of God. You know, for me, it seems like I've had a greater intimacy and appreciation for the Lord in my life when I really reflect upon his love and his grace and his mercy that has been poured upon me and my life. and that adoration, just, Lord, thank you so much for saving me each and every day. And your grace is so abounding. And when I have that mindset, it just draws me ever more closer to the Lord in appreciation of who he is. You know, that's the idea of casting out those things and putting on the love of Christ in our lives. You know, and it's such an important thing to do each and every day. I don't know if you've noticed that, but the temptations, the influences are always there. You turn on the computer screen and watch whatever, and then I'm watching something, and at the end of 15 minutes, you feel convicted. Why did I just watch that? Was that really honoring to the Lord? Probably not. I thought it was fun, funny, had a good laugh, but probably not things that are honoring to the Lord. And so to be able to cast those things off, to have that mindset, to be armored up with the Lord. You know, Jesus gave the parable of the virgins waiting for the groomsmen to come and having oil in your lamp. And he says half of them didn't prepare. They didn't have the oil and their lamps burned out. And the other half were ready. They had plenty of oil. They were burning the light so that when the groom came back, they were ready to receive that in their life. You know, and the picture there is for the church to be ready for the Lord's return at any moment so that when he comes, he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Step into my kingdom, you know, and we're not worried about whether the Lord's coming back sooner or rather later, any of those things, because we have a desire to have the light of Christ being poured upon us. So there's that benefit for us in our relationship with the Lord personally. But there's a benefit to the lost world around us. If we put on Christ and have that radiating out of our lives like a fragrant aroma, people notice it. How in the world can you be at peace and no anxiety when everything around us is in absolute chaos and spinning out of control? Well, let me tell you how I can have that peace. Because I'm plugged in to the Prince of Peace. And you can share, use those opportunities as the Lord sees fit to impact a world around us. You know, that's our calling, to be salt and light to a lost world around us. Being good citizens, submitted to the authority of the day, and let the Lord sort out all the details on what that looks like. But putting on Jesus Christ each and every day. You know, and the Lord is doing a good work. We've heard the testimony of that just this morning. So much opportunity. When darkness is even darker, the light shines all the brighter. And the church is alive and well and flourishing. All of these things are just part and parcel to the work of the Lord continuing on through his church. And he's refining us. He's making us stronger. He's separating out the goats from the sheep. He's saying, I no longer like a church that's lukewarm. I either want you on this side or the other. And may we be those that are on the side of the Lord, living those lives that bring him glory and honor, empowered by his Holy Spirit each and every day to impact a lost world around us. You know, that's what the Lord desires in and through us. That's why we're here. That's the whole purpose of our life in that. So may that be an encouragement to us for the coming week to have that mindset, to put on Christ, to put off ourselves and be used by him. Let's pray. Well, Father, indeed, you are an awesome God and you are continuing to do your work in and through your church. How thankful we are for that, Lord. As we bow down and submit to you, that you would enable and anoint us for service, Lord, as a good soldier would. that we would put off those things that are not of you and put on love that is about you, Father. I pray a blessing upon you, church, Lord, that the Lord would use you mightily in the coming days, all for his glory, all for his purpose. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen.